Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today I want to start off welcoming each and every one of you for joining in with us as we stand and pray for the Office of the President, but also to remind you to please follow us. If you're not already on platforms such as Rumble, Gitter, and Parler, know that I want to make people aware that if we disappear from Facebook, you don't see our posts popping up in your feeds, know that we are still posting. We will always continue for the foreseeable future to do the morning briefings and our noon prayers, posting there. So if you don't see them on Facebook and in the group, know that we are elsewhere. So be sure to follow us as the Morning Slideshow Show, our account, PIP Intercession, on those platforms, as well as on Rumble, where looks like we'll be able to continue to post freely, no matter what we're saying. Because this week, if you remember the John Hopkins article we posted a couple weeks ago, that got censored for fact check for saying that it wasn't really John Hopkins. And then another article got flagged a couple days ago about how it was asking the question of the efficacy of whether children should get the vaccine. And we got flagged for it. And this is a matter of like 2 to 3 days. And we're not the only ones. There's tons of people, i.e. Joe Rogan. There's something going on, not only in the spiritual, but in the natural as well, where there's a push for this censoring. Obviously, with the DHS mandate or warning about terrorism and those who talk about January 6th, the election, and COVID and the issues behind that. If you don't fully agree with the government, then they're going to push back and call you a terrorist. So know that we're just asking questions and we're getting flagged for it. So if you don't see us here, know that we are on Rumble. We'll post links to our podcast as well. We have to throw that out there. And the fact checking is not, they're providing no evidence. They're just saying a fact checker found that this information is partly false, blah, 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 blah. And they're not giving any studies. There's a reason why. It's just somebody's basic opinion that they disagree with you. And look, it's fine for them to disagree, but when they start censoring, hold on there. There's the reason why we have the First Amendment. But with that being said, we want to continue. And I think this is just so much, so appropriate for today and this season with what's going on, is our verse of the week of being on the alert during the night watches, the evening, midnight, when the rooster crows, or in the morning, in case the master should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to you all, be on the alert. And I titled this morning's podcast episode, Taking Back the Night. And in the book, Reordering Your Day, that Chuck Pierce writes, he talks about how the Lord really pressed upon him to take back the night. And I want to give two examples about opposing Antichrist spirits, agendas that are they're taking back the night. They're being more disciplined than we as Christians have been and need to be going forward. And in it, it talks about, in the book, he talks about how Muslims, they saw the early Christians when they set these prayer times up. If you've ever been to either an Islamic country or even Jerusalem, they still have the calls for prayer that go out 5 times a day for them to remember and observe their times of prayer and the importance for what they believe of what Allah is, of giving them the opportunities to seek his guidance and forgiveness. And they have five prayers. And then also, in the night season, there are also, especially going on with the new moon, pagans and witches, they understand that the night is the key time to cast spells. And this week it gave a biblical representation and a timing of what the Lord does during those seasons at night. And even when you look back at the times of Israel and you go and look scripture. And next week I'll dive into more scripture specifically, even as we did, I believe, on Wednesday and Thursday, of how there are certain times David, Jesus, even when you go back to the time of the Exodus, reading Exodus, you see when Moses, before he went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments early in the morning, God told him and showed him, explained him during that time of visitation what to do, what to take, who should come up on the mountain and who shouldn't. And so I want to press this upon us, and this is more so for myself as well, to take back the night, to be spiritually aware of what the Lord's trying to do in the night season and what he's trying to tell us, so that we can be vigilant, be on the alert, and be aware, not only for this nation, but so that this nation can reach the destiny of spreading the gospel of the kingdom to the nations for souls to be saved. Because at the end of the day, our heart here is for souls. And we understand and this is the foundation we stand on, is that the Lord has a destiny for this nation, as well as other nations. But because we're citizens of the United States, we want this nation to press into the call that God has on us and be obedient, be diligent to what the Lord has been telling us to do, not in a legalistic manner, but in a graceful, peaceful manner, so that the hearts and minds of men can be turned towards the Father, and that ultimately their eternal destinies can be saved now and in the days ahead. Okay, so a few things I want to get to today in talking about, and I want to lay some groundwork today because we really need to pray for this administration, because there's a hardness of heart on a lot of issues coming forward, and I want to talk about the key issues that are not only affecting this nation, but where recently the administration has shown to just be completely inept, is the best way to say it. I hate to be that harsh, but it's sad to see this. And then I want to end on some really good news that has happened over the last couple of weeks, major victories for life. So stick in there as we go through this. And I want to start off with the first story. Yesterday, President Biden sat down with Lester Holt, and Lester Holt actually did a decent job of asking him questions. And this is the first part of the story I want to talk about in this interview with Lester Holt. And Lester Holt asked him about inflation, and Biden goes on to respond, kind of push back into, oh, you're being a wise guy. Hold on. Lester Holt just asked him about the historic inflation numbers that came out right before the interview, the day before, like yesterday morning, right before I went live. And Lester Holt asked the question. He says, and I'll pull this up. If you see it here, it says, I think it was back in July you said inflation was going to be temporary because the Fed and Jerome Powell said it was. I think a lot of Americans are wondering what your definition of temporary is. That's a great answer. Joe Biden's answer is alarming, but completely in Joe Biden's nature, with things he said in the past. He said, well, you're being a wise guy with me a little bit, and I understand that's your job. But look at the time. What happened was let's look at the reasons for the inflation. Let's look at the reasons for the inflation. And he blames it on supply chain issues. There's not enough production because of mandates. And he goes and gives the examples of automobiles and computer chips, which that's an issue with China. Nothing, not even going further. He's starting. What's interesting here is if you look at this answer, it's a half truth. It's a some truth. It's not a full truth. It's a, well, these are the problems. Okay, but now let's look into what caused these problems. And that's where the lack of awareness for not only the president, but this administration is causing concerns. The reason I bring this up of this response shows where the administration is at. Also, he praises in this interview, the CNBC points out that he touted the wage growth and slower inflation forecasts after another surge in prices, which is still just a complete misunderstanding of the numbers. Yes, wage growth compared to the year before have grown, but let's look over a long term. And when you have inflation at 7.5% and you have wage growth across the nation at 3.6%, there's still about a 4% gap there where you're making those, if you make the same or even a 3% jump in quote unquote nominal numbers, you're still making less than what you did last year because your money is worth less now as you have to spend more for things. I point this out because Senator Joe Manchin has come out and said some things that are very mature. And I think the proper response, look, we don't agree with everything he says and other stances he believes, but this is wisdom. I want to read some quotes from him. Wisdom of where this country needs to be at and what the mindset of the leadership in this country, where it needs to be. So we want to praise people where they stand on issues that are correct. This is correct because you're seeing it right now where inflation is lasting longer because economists were wrong. I could get into that, but I want to focus on this quote from Senator Joe Manchin, quotes, I should say. Senator Joe Manchin, when questioned by a reporter, said, "It's time we start acting like stewards of our economy." Correction, it's an email he sent out about this. And the money the American people entrust their government with. Now, more than ever, we must remember it is not our money. It's the American people's money. It's not our economy. It's their economy. And he goes on to say, we all have a responsibility to do all that is possible to roll back inflation and manage our debts, because the longer we or the Federal Reserve waits to act, the more economic pain will be caused. He goes out to point the fact that the Federal Reserve needs to stand up. And when questioned by, this is where he's questioned by reporters on Build Back Better and other stimulus packages. And the reason this is coming up now is because they're looking at passing a spending bill, basically a funding of the government here within the next couple of weeks before February 18th. Even though if we talked about it yesterday, there's a March 11th extension that is in play to be voted on, and then they're going to possibly vote on extending it in government programs and stuff like this. But he goes on to say this as well. He says, we're not in a financial position to do it. He told reporters, we've got to get our financial house in order. Now's not the time to be throwing caution to the wind and putting more trillions of dollars out, basically printing money, which is what happened. And he points to this and he says these things because there's enough evidence out there to show that what happened during the stimulus packages of 2020 and 2021, it was very alarming of the results. And we're seeing that with the inflation because no production was actually being done with the mandates, et cetera. Now, I also want to point out this before I get to the prayer point on this, before praying for wisdom for our leaders before they vote on these issues. And even going forward for the rest of the year, as they continue to try to push for the Build Back Better, is there's a report that came out from the Texas Policy Foundation, where they showed that the combination of federal and state unemployment benefits, where states stayed in, kept millions from returning to work because it disincentivizes them to work. And they showed that with people, okay, maybe if they just had state unemployment or they just had federal unemployment, it wouldn't have been enough for them to live on. But when you take 300 here and 600 here and 300 here and 200 here, and you add it up and you have that going on for years, some people were like, I don't want to go to work. And that showed. And in states where they pulled out of, and what's interesting from this report is the states where the states pulled out of taking money from the federal government, people were forced to go back to work, and they didn't have and delay the perpetual unemployment situation, which caused harm because services weren't being rendered, production wasn't being incurred, and you're also seeing that come out to play with the inflation because there's not enough products and production of things due to the supply chain shortages and mandates and et cetera. Now you're in a state where inflation causes rise. And they go on to say this. They say, let me pull this up. I'm going to highlight it first and then I'll pull it up. They say the takeaway is not that some states just improve their employment numbers and some didn't, reports the author EJ Antoni. Said it's the extending unemployment benefits had a significant negative impact on the ability of communities to recover from the pandemic. Lives and livelihoods were put on hold for a much longer period than was necessary as a result of this wrong-headed policy. Because in states where they continued to have the unemployment benefits, unemployment stayed high. And it even still is high in those areas right now. And we pointed out warnings and said that the test of time will prove that these policies were wrong. And so as we grow closer and closer towards time of passing government spending, funding, and in the next couple weeks and months, the potential for a push for Build Back Better, other government stimulus plans being led by Senator Bernie Sanders and the Biden administration, we want to pray for the senators to have wisdom and revelation when voting for government funding. And look, Joe Manchin is leading in the Democratic Party for the moderates of being a voice. Those things that he's saying are correct. Look, we do not have our financial house in order. We're $30 trillion in debt. And when you look at how fast we've gotten to that point, it's like up until what, 1982, the entire government national debt, federal debt was $1 trillion. And since then, it's grown to $30 trillion. Astronomical numbers. So there is something to be said about the damaging policies of continuing government stimulus. So we want to pray for that. And then now I want to shift to another portion of the interview from Lester Holt with Biden, in that Biden warns Americans in Ukraine to leave, says sending troops to evacuate would be a world war. We want to pray for this issue. And now that Kamala Harris is being put on this issue, we want to pray for it even more if we've seen what she's done at our border. But I also want to point out a contradicting article about what the American press is putting out from the Wall Street Journal, in that they went and looked at what investors in Ukraine and Russia are doing. Are they scared? Because a lot of times the markets will tell you what is a real assessment of what's going on the ground. And for investors in both Russia and Ukraine, they're betting and they believe that there will not be a war. It'll be averted. There's one investor who even said there's not enough troops on the border for Russia to even consider invading Ukraine. Now, could that change? Could that be true? Could it be a false flag? Possibly. But I point these two different stories out of Biden saying, get out, get out, get out. He even says to Lester Holt, we're not dealing with a terrorist organization. We're dealing with one of the largest armies in the world. So we need to get out. Basically like, we don't know what we're doing, so get out. That's alarmist. And look, there's a lot going on this issue. Dive into this. I'll send the link to this article. But the reality is as intercessors, we want to intercede for the Biden administration, for those who are negotiating and involved, even though they haven't shown fear of the Lord in the past or wisdom, listening to the Holy Spirit. We want to continue to pray for that. Continue to pray for that wisdom and fear of the Lord to enter into their hearts when dealing with Russia and Ukraine, and pray for world leaders to continue to have wisdom on this issue, and even for Ukraine themselves to stand up for the sovereignty of their nation, to be a voice in the region for not only freedom for themselves, but also for the gospel to continue to be spread in Ukraine after the fall of the Soviet Empire, which is one of the benefits of these nations gaining their own sovereignty, especially in countries like Poland as well, who are some of the most pro-life advocate state countries in the world. So we want to pray for that. Now, in some other news in the United States, so we're seeing what's happening with the Canadian issue and the truckers, which I think is very tremendous what they're doing. But now it's starting to, there's the prophecy we put out yesterday, day reminder from Rick Joyner that Bob Jones prophesied about: when the geese start honking, then the Americans basically rise up. And so we're seeing now that there's reports of that style of protest coming to America, Washington, D.C., from LA, Los Angeles, all the way to D.C., possibly interrupting or causing a media stir in the Super Bowl this weekend and potentially around the events in Washington, D.C. in the coming weeks. So that's coming out. One thing to point out also is that the Department of Homeland Security is monitoring reports, and right now they haven't seen any violent threats being made, which, of course, if they follow the same guidelines that the Canadian truckers are doing, they're not going to be. And what's very, very, very key to point out is people are asking, where's Pete Buttigieg? What's he doing? Know this, that Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas and Pete Buttigieg are asking the Canadian parliamentary Prime Minister Trudeau to end the protests. And so are the Michigan governor, other governors. They're saying in the protests, it's hurting companies, it's hurting our business, it's hurting our economy. That's the point that the truckers wanted to get, is like, if you're not going to give us our freedom, et cetera. Okay, I think everybody understands that. But rather than saying to the Canadian government in the mandates to give people their freedom back, they're saying in the protests, which that's the wrong mindset. That's not what the Canadian people are asking for. They're asking for their freedom back. And yet our government is saying, we'll just end the protest. And then a court in Canada ruled that because GoFundMe has disputedly been nefarious with the funds that have been given to the convoy, Freedom Convoy in Canada, the kid truckers went over to a company called GiveSendGo. And I want to pull this up. This is hilarious. And I think a show of bravery for this company. They said in a tweet, said, know this, Canada has absolutely zero jurisdiction over how we manage our funds here at GiveSendGo. All funds for every campaign on GiveSendGo flow directly to the recipients of those campaigns, not least of which is the Freedom Convoy campaign. And this comes after a judge supposedly ordered them to prevent funds from going to the truckers in an act of dissidence. Legal dissidents. I mean, they have no jurisdiction to tell this company what to do. And correctly, kudos on this company for doing that. So I point that out of, look, this is what bravery looks like. This is what standing up to tyranny looks like in a peaceful manner, not burning down your cities to get what you want, but in a way to show, look, we the people disagree with you. We went along with you for this time. It's long enough. We're seeing it with inflation, with the cost of everything. Please give us our freedom back, is what the Canadians are saying. And so kudos on the Canadians for standing up in this time. Okay. I want to talk about two more stories, and then I'll end. Or one more story, and then the great news. And this is actually kind of good news as well. So we talked about the nominees for Fed Reserve Vice Chair Sarah Bloom Raskin. Well, it's now come out that there are very concerning red flags around some of her past involvement in and around her previous tenure at the Fed in under the Obama administration and her relationships after the fact of what happened there. And what happened was, is she worked at the Fed and then since went and worked at a company called, or was on the board of a company called Reserve Trust. It's a financial tech company. And the issue at play, and there are two reports I'm going to pull from to talk about this, is that she, before she came on board, the company was denied access to the Federal Reserve's master account system to be able to use transactions at a higher level than an ordinary bank. And a sitting Wyoming senator, Senator Cynthia Loomis, pointed out in a Wall Street Journal op-ed, an opinion piece in November, that the Kansas City Fed was sitting on applications by two digital asset banks in her state that are different than this bank that Raskin was a part of. And the question being asked by Senator Loomis and even other senators is, how did Reserve Trust get an account? Turns out the Kansas City Fed initially rejected its application in June 2017. 2 months later, and then in 2 months after she joins the board, according to records obtained by the Senate. So this isn't some hypothetical. This is based on evidence that was presented to the Senate. Ms. Raskin made a phone call to the regional Fed on behalf of her company. And look, this is, there's an issue that is being played out in this article from the Federalist and the Wall Street Journal, about the issue of revolving door of people lobbying and going into government, going to work in other companies or working in government, going to lobbying, private sector, going back and benefiting from it. Right now, that's not illegal. The issue at play is, should that be illegal? There's a discussion to be had there. But the alarming thing is that she's going to go then back into the Fed. If she's shown a history of being nefarious when she leaves, okay, and supposedly she did nothing wrong, why would she hide anything? She knows it looks bad. That's why she said, listen to this. This is what she says. Yet Ms. Raskin told Senate banking staff on January 28th, that she didn't know why the company she was representing on the board, Reserve Trust, wanted a master account and couldn't remember calling Kansas City Fed. During her confirmation hearing last week, she also repeatedly declined to answer whether she contacted the regional Fed, though she asserted that she didn't do anything wrong or improper. If you didn't do anything wrong or improper, why are you trying to hide the fact? But if that's the case, why wasn't she being candid? Why wasn't she telling the truth? And what happened was, is rather than being paid a smaller consulting fee, board member fee, she was given an exorbitant amount of stocks into the company. And then after it got reserved, after it got approved to be a part of the master account system with the Federal Reserve to be able to make bigger transactions, she then sold her shares for around $1.4 to $1.5 million, which is a extremely larger amount of payment than she would have if they would have just given her a small portion board member consulting fee. And the issue at play is why are you hiding this? If you're saying you did nothing wrong, why are you hiding this? And the reason we bring this up, the reason we want to be aware of this, is because we want to pray for senators and congressional leaders to have wisdom and revelation when voting to confirm cabinet appointees. As we've seen in the past with other people who wanted to overreach on the banking system, even though the position that they had wouldn't even have been involved in that, with socialistic ties. There's a red flag here with this appointee who has a nefarious history in and around being unethical, to say the least. And what would be called crony capitalism at its best. And yes, pray that they have courage and an excellent spirit to bring integrity back to our financial system. And this goes back to what I was talking about with the interview with Biden and Manchin and everything about we're in a position where we need to have mature leaders who are in these positions to deal with the problems that are at hand. And there's a whole debate of whether the Federal Reserve can even do that or not. But we need leaders to even can start to understand this stuff so we can make the proper decisions to allow freedoms to be had and stop preventing and stop allowing these tyrannical overreaches. So we want to pray for that. And then lastly, we want to shout a praise for joy in this news that has come out of Texas, that since the abortion ban in Texas, after 6 weeks, abortions fell 60% under the first month in the under the new limits. Now that data has come out. So what a victory for life. And those lives that are now able to have the choice and ability to make their own decisions, to walk out the destiny that God has for their life, despite the circumstances of how they came into this world. And this is also a call for the church, not only in Texas, but around the world, that if these mothers need to give these children up for adoption for economic reasons, or even if they want to keep them and they need help for economic reasons, for us to stand up, step up, and support and come alongside and be the love of Christ, be the light that the Lord has called us to do, show grace, and walk with these children as they grow up in our communities, whether the parents stay involved or give them up for adoption. What a great moment there. There is a claim, you know, from those who are pro-abortionists, well, if you cared about life, you cared about the whole life. That is absolutely true, and the church has repented of not standing up and supporting, but now there are tons of life centers around this country who provide enormous resources, support, daycare, diapers, etc., clothes, trainings to help parents, whether it be get a job or how to take care of, like, there's tremendous resources out there that these mothers need to be aware of. And then obviously leading into the Supreme Court case that is at the feet of the Supreme Court justices to be decided, you know, we want to pray for life on that issue. But this is the benefit of that, of life being had. What a blessing it is for these parents, despite the circumstances that they came in, to be able to be fruitful and multiply, because there are still some challenges that some women have with the inability to do that. And when given this blessing from the Lord that these mothers and even fathers have, we want to stand and support them and support these lives, because they have a destiny now and in the season ahead. And that's what we're here for, to stand for life, pray for the office of the president so that souls can be saved and reach the eternal destiny of heaven. So with that, I thank each and every one of you for following along. Don't forget to follow us, share our channels and pages on not only Facebook, but on Rumble, Gitter and Parler, as well as Facebook and other social media companies are ramping up their fact-checking adventures here in this day and in the days ahead. So blessings, and I will see you guys next week. Hope you have a great weekend.